It's human nature to separate, sort, and categorize. In landscaping, separating can be pleasing to the eye and functional. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Nice to be with you, Mike.
And we're talking about landscaping edging.
Yeah.
Does the human eye just sort of like these areas of demarcation?
I think it does like it, or it recognizes it. So I think about on our travels in life, say if you're traveling out to the mountains, east or west of where we're at right now, there comes to the point where you can see the mountains, and you can see where the mountains rise up out of the earth, where the trees stop, and if it's high enough, you can see where the snow starts. And I think that part of recognizing and relishing that beauty is because of those layers. You can make that out. You can understand what's going on there. And I think the same is true in reverse. So if you're traveling out, say, to go to Palm Desert, California, there's going to be this part where you see the entire valley, which is like an oasis. So it's the other way around. You see the mountaintops with the snow, and then there's a line there, and then it's bare, and then there's some cacti and some palms. And then there's green lushness with water, and they all have boundaries and edges. And I think that that's something that's appreciated in art and just when we're gazing on nature.
So why do we separate and edge areas in our planned landscaping? Practical reasons, aesthetic reasons?
I think it is our way of making our part of the world more manageable. And we're also usually copying something we've seen. We may be on the lesser creative side and just copying what our neighbors do. But for those of us that are, let's call ourselves more advanced gardeners and landscapers, we're copying what we've seen in nature and what we've seen great gardeners and great landscapers do, which is typically copying nature. And it helps us to manage the different departments or the different areas that make up our property, like our lawn to patio edge. And then these edges, they make our lives easier because they help with things like surface runoff control, so our sidewalk's not inundated with water, for example. And like I mentioned, the little low spot where there's water, that's the water feature in our yard that's wrapped with a planting area around it. So you're kind of framing it, and you're building those layers in your garden as edges.
It could be just as simple as keeping the mulch out of the grass, too.
That's right.
What kind of materials are we talking about for edging? It could be as simple as no materials, right? A spade edge?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, Mike. And that's one that's oftentimes overlooked. And when it's done correctly, man, it makes your life really easy. And it sure makes for a great presentation on planting areas as well as how you manage your turf. But we also have the concrete, cement, and asphalt that can be used as edging. Usually the asphalt would be a driveway or a path or something, but you can actually have extruded concrete cement curbs. I've seen this a lot in the southeast, down in beach country, if you will. And then here in the Midwest, it's more common to see things like brick, metal, repurposed materials, even plastic edging. Plastic edging initially was designed as a way to allow people to transition into a permanent edge later, and they might not be able to afford it the day the landscaping is installed. And then you can install the brick or stone in front of that plastic, then remove the plastic, and then your new landscaping comes right up to this fashionable constructed edge.
Can we agree, though, that the plastic landscaping shouldn't be permanent? It just doesn't work very well for very long.
I think a lot of people didn't know that it was originally something that was a backyard product, if you will, and it was something that, like, we're talking, it was a construction phase material. And in the Midwest, it's a pain in the neck because it just doesn't stay put.
It heaves in the winter.
But so does bender board and metal. So if you have those in your landscape, those edges are high maintenance, where the brick and even the concrete boulders, stones, they don't heave as much. And you can install them in a way that you don't have to do a lot of detailed edging with a string trimmer or power edger.
So before edging, you need to have areas that need to be edged or separated. Does that make sense? You need to have sort of a layout or design. What do you want to say about that?
I think when you have all the areas of your landscape kind of coalesce, so areas being, say, driveways, walkways, patios, then you have lawns, and then In between those, you have planting areas that give you polite separations and give you privacy from your neighbors and frame your house. Sometimes there are lots of edges there that are really ornate and detailed, and that's on the higher end maintenance end of things. Other times they're more casual, like this. That's one of the reasons I love the spade edges. You see this nice transition from the trees to the shrubs down to the lawn, and you can flip it over and do it the other way as you get close to the house, and then it all matches in that case too.
What about duplicating the angles and curves that you see in nature?
Sweeping arcs and tangents are, I think, something that we like and we recognize when we see them, and that's why they're duplicated. In the landscape, they look best and they're easiest to build when they're true. So what I mean by that is a curve, for example, would be a segment of a circle where you know its center. So you can, from the origin of the circle, you can mark the arcs and then have these nice true curves that transition and in straight lines or right angles into their finishing or completion areas. And the eye recognizes them more readily when they're true. When they're contrived, and I use the example of the Nike swoosh. We love it, but I don't want to see it in my landscaping necessarily.
Does edging always have to be thought of as a separation, or can it be a way to sort of ease disparate areas in the landscaping, transitioning from a patio to turf, for instance?
Yeah, I think it could easily be something that is like a meshing or a combining of two areas. So the turf to patio transition that you mentioned, it's really nice and pretty important, actually, that it's an effortless transition. You have either a step going down onto the lawn and a step coming back onto the patio, or no step either way. So if it's off a little bit and it's 2 or 3 inches below the patio, when you step off the patio, you don't notice it. But if you don't remember that, when you're coming back, you catch the end of your foot and you spill your drink, and nobody likes that.
I also think of edge as a verb. For instance, I have to edge the yard or the turf. These transition areas need to be maintained. Are we talking about a string trimmer in some cases? And do you have any tips if a string trimmer comes into play here?
I like to use the string trimmer as little as possible. You know, I was really glad when the battery-powered ones came out so I wouldn't have to suck exhaust in the whole time. But when we do our edges properly, a lot of times the lawnmower can take care of what you've had to do with the string trimmer in the past. There's exceptions to that, right? So if you've got a rocky edge somewhere that's butting up to the turf, and there's no built or constructed edge like brick pavers or flagstone or anything, that might require some string trimming. I personally like to keep that to a minimum. You don't have to do all that edging every time you mow anyway. But when edges are built and constructed so that the edge of the mower can ride right over the top of it, so that could be brick paver edging, for example, or it could even be where your turf hits the sidewalk. It's your house. Some people use the power edger, which is like a blade that vertically cuts this beautiful wall. So you see, right, the turf ends and the sidewalk begins.
And what about maintaining a spade edge? Can you do that with a string trimmer every now and then, or do you have to just go back in and use a spade every time?
You could use a string trimmer, but the spade is preferred. And you know, gardening tools are fascinating. They now have, it looks like a draw knife on a long handle, so you can pull a hoe-shaped implement up against your edge to get that nice, crisp divot.
If you have any questions about landscaping or gardening, including edging, send them in, and Patrick Murphy with ISU School of Biological Sciences will answer them. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your questions to wglt.org/grow.